Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This week we've been talking about how forgiveness kind of opens up a door to us to experience the fullness of God's grace. Peter talks about that in his first or second letter. He says this: for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. It's kind of a rewriting of the fruits of the Spirit. So as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to see the Spirit of God growing us in His grace and growing us in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sin. So this is how vitally important the forgiveness issue is, to get settled once and for all. If you are thinking about past sins, you're blind to the life that Christ wants to live through you, through his Spirit or by his Spirit. So we need to settle this once and for all. We need to realize that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us once and for all. There's no more cleansing that we need. There's no more forgiveness that we need. We are forgiven people in Christ Jesus. And Andrew, on your radio broadcast and in your ministry, you see this all the time. People struggling to grow in Christ, to grow in their relationship with the Lord. And I guarantee you 90% of the time it's because they've forgotten about the cleansing that they receive through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a conditional system with other people. I'm going to forgive you when you show up on my doorstep. I want you to have that apology ready. I want you to really mean it. And if you would just shed a few tears, I'll really believe it. And then I declare you to be forgiven. And you say, thank you very much. And walk away feeling as a forgiven person. And so we have an apology-based system that we are so used to, Bob, and yet God has a blood-based system. And so when you start to do the math on this, you say, well, if it's a blood-based system, how many times did Jesus Christ shed his blood? Once. Well, it only needed to be done once. It worked the first time. There's no repeat needed. He'll never hang on a cross again. He'll never shed his blood again. So how forgiven are we? Well, we are as forgiven today as we will ever be. Past, present, and future, Hebrews 10 says, by one offering, he's made you perfect forever. And so what Peter is saying is, if you're running around giving out conditional love to people, that's because you have forgotten the unconditional love of God. If you're running around waiting for people to apologize for everything and make up for everything before you will forgive them, that's because you've forgotten the forgiveness that you have in Jesus. And so Luke 7 says, whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And the opposite is true. Whoever's been forgiven a lot loves a lot. So, you know, people say, oh, this forgiveness message is so dangerous. We can't tell people they're totally forgiven. Otherwise, they're just going to sin up a storm. Well, the Bible says the opposite. It says, please remember your forgiveness. Remember your cleansing. Because when you know that you're forgiven a lot, you're going to end up loving people a lot. And that's just the way it works. We pass on the same grace that we're receiving from God. And God set it up that way. We love because he first loved us.
Yes, indeed. And as we talked about, this forgiveness issue is so vitally important. We've produced a little pamphlet with 13 of the best verses in the New Testament that talk about the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. We want to send that to you. It's a free resource. You can order it by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And click the link at the very top of the page. We have a banner at the very top of the page, and it will give you all the information on how you can order this particular pamphlet. As Bob Davis said, it's a little pamphlet with a big, big message.
Yes.
And we want to put this in your hands free of charge, just for the asking. You can also call 844-322-2742 and ask Stephen or Michelle, and we'll get one on its way to you.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes, indeed.
Probably do it right now.
Yes.
BasicGospel.net. Right at the very top of the page, just click that link. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you. 844-322-2742 is the number in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start in Fort Worth and talk with Larry. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going good, Larry. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, but I just kind of had a question about a topic I've heard. I think this was a big one in the church. Today I was listening to a pastor talking about divorce, and he said that basically if you were divorced and you got remarried and neither one of you or your ex-wife had committed adultery, that was a sin, but you could just ask for forgiveness and honor your other marriage, your second marriage, and everything would be okay. But there were a lot of people saying that that's not true, that you're in a habitual state of adultery, and that unless you get a divorce, you die in that state, then you've committed sexual immorality and you won't go to heaven because you can never truly repent from that. What do you guys think about that?
So, Larry, what he's saying is that divorce and remarriage is the unpardonable sin. And that's just not the case. The only unpardonable sin is the rejection of Christ Jesus. And Jesus shed his blood for all sins. So that would include divorce. That would include all kinds of sexual immorality. That includes a whole host of sins. Everything that the law would judge to be sin. Jesus Christ died for that sin. And anyone who is in Christ has been made new and has received forgiveness of sins. So, Larry, we have to recognize that the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient, and that if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, then you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and you have life everlasting, and you are safe and secure in Christ. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it's really sad when people are teaching that Christians are somehow a perpetual adulterer. I mean, God is living with us in the present, and I might have told a lie 15 years ago, but I'm not a perpetual liar. I'm a child of God. I might have stolen something 25 years ago, but I'm not a perpetual thief. I'm a child of God. And God is relating to us in the present. And I think that's very important to recognize. He says it's finished, that he remembers our sins no more. And this idea that, oh, well, you didn't have time to repent and stop and do differently. Well, I have seen people trying to do mental gymnastics, Bob, trying to get back into a first marriage when that person wants nothing to do with them. And they're trying to divorce the second person to get back with the first person to somehow get back in God's good graces. And, you know, sometimes we just need to say, okay, my past is a checkered past like everybody else's. I made mistakes. I committed sins. I hurt people. Maybe I didn't get divorced for all the right reasons. Maybe somebody else divorced me and it was out of my control. But no matter what, we're living in today, and we are not right with God because of our marital status. We're right with God because of the blood of Jesus and because of the resurrection, the free gift of righteousness. So Christians are not perpetual anything except perpetual children of God and perpetually righteous and perpetually forgiven. That's the truth that sets us free.
Yes, indeed. And Larry, let me point you to our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. on that YouTube channel, we ask and answer the question, is it okay for a Christian to get divorced, and is it okay for a Christian to get remarried? And those two videos will help anchor you to the grace of God and help you see it from that perspective, from God's perspective, and I think it'll be a big encouragement to you. So, Larry, thank you for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
There are many topics there at on our YouTube channel for Basic Gospel, and you can find them when you go to BasicGospel/YouTube. So Bob has done a lot of work there, and we want you to take full advantage of it. Well, it is Basic Gospel, of course, and we had this question from Robert, who is a YouTube viewer, concerning Revelation 2:5. He says, several believe that in a Bible study, several believe that it proves that grace, once in grace, always in grace, is not true. I was the odd man out. I don't think that says that. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, as we look at Revelation in the second chapter, this verse, this fifth verse, it says, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So definitely there is an issue here of deeds, and there's an issue of being a light to other people. But this is about loss of influence. It's about loss of witness in other people's lives. I mean, if the three of us were to get on the radio every afternoon drunk as skunks and trying to talk about Jesus when clearly we were out of control in our lifestyle, then we would lose our privilege of really being heard. And you know, this is what Revelation 2 is talking about. There's plenty of emphasis on attitudes and actions in the New Testament, and this is one of those places where there is an urging of them to do the things they did at first. What does that tell you? Well, they are saved. They are in Christ. God has prepared good things for them to do. He prepared them in advance. But we don't always walk in those things. And sometimes we have to take a change of mind, have a change of attitude. And Bob, that's a healthy thing to take a look at. If we're digging our heels in and choosing resentment and bitterness, well, the Spirit is going to urge us to choose forgiveness. If we're digging our heels in saying, God, I can get my needs met my way, and we start choosing something sinful, well, thank God that He cares and the Holy Spirit lives in us to urge us to go ahead and walk as children of light, because that's who we are. So how great it is actually to have the counsel of God's Spirit, and how great it is. I mean, imagine the opposite. Imagine if He didn't care about our actions, if He didn't care about our attitudes, if there was no urging us to turn from sin, then how miserable we would be. So let's thank God for the counsel of His Spirit.
Absolutely. And we have a question from B on Facebook, kind of wants to keep this conversation rolling about, you know, what if, you know, what if we continue in a certain sin? What if we continue in sexual immorality and that sort of thing? And it seems like we're forgetting in this gospel of grace that it's not just a ticket that grants us entry into heaven when we die, and in between that moment of salvation and the time we die, then we have to do our best to try to be the best Christians that we can be. No, it's about being made new in Christ. It's about the fact that we've died, that old man has died, has been buried with Christ, and we have been raised a new creation. We have become new in Jesus Christ. We have a new heart. We've been made alive together with Christ, and we have God's Spirit living in us. And we can trust God's Spirit to teach us to say no to worldly passions and ungodliness, and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. So the whole story, the whole life, rest upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And if He loved us enough to take away our sins, He's going to love us enough to move us down that path of righteousness. So let's not keep looking at us and the things that we may or may not be doing. Let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's what the Scripture encourages us to do. It's His life that is being lived in and through us, and we simply walk by faith in the one who loved us and gave Himself for us.
Yes, indeed.
And I think if we focus on Him, that solves a lot of problems, doesn't it, Andrew?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you can be forgiven and miserable at the same time. And I think we need to recognize that. Paul says in Romans 6, you know, what benefit are you deriving from choosing sin? And there is no real benefit. In the long term, sure, something might feel good in the short term, but there is a lack of fulfillment and a lack of satisfaction in sin that becomes clear as day. And so, please, do not hear us saying that we just go on sinning because grace will increase. Paul trashed that idea. He challenged it to the max and said, by no means. What, do you not know what's happened to you? Come on, you've died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? So here's the clarity we need. We can be totally forgiven and yet choosing misery. And that's just a plain reality, Bob. And I think that when we talk plainly about it and when we teach the new heart, we're teaching two truths that go together perfectly. Total forgiveness and a new heart. Total forgiveness and new desires. Total forgiveness and only one way to be satisfied, and that is by expressing Jesus Christ. That's our destiny. That's our heart's longing, and nothing else will ever fulfill us.
Well, you know, understanding the finished work of Jesus, as Andrew was saying, it's vital in helping us live free of fear and guilt and shame. And Bob Christopher has produced an excellent six-message series that addresses this. It's called It Is Finished. And to say thank you to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy of it. Just click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and request your copy of It Is Finished.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go back to our phone lines to Greenville, Texas, and to Jeff listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's on your mind?
So I've listened to almost the entire It Is Finished series, and it's helping me kind of destroy some bad framework that I had and rebuild some good framework. So I was hoping to get some thoughts on a subject. So I've accepted Christ and I'm forgiven of my sin and I love that I'm going to heaven, but my life has been a real struggle recently, and our pastor's been telling us, you know, it doesn't have to be a struggle. You got to turn to Jesus. And so I know our faith is not a works-based faith, but I've really been into John 15 and James 4, and I believe Mark 11, and there's verses in there saying that we can ask for whatever we want. In this case, you know, how do I not feel so much anxiety and stress, and how do I get at peace? We can ask those things, and if it says if we abide in Jesus and His words abide in us, then those things will come true, and that if we believe what we're asking for in prayer, that we'll receive it. In my mind, I always thought Christianity wasn't a works-based faith, but this kind of seems like some work, like some good work. You know, building a relationship with anybody seems like work. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that whole process of abiding and what that takes in order to be able to receive what we ask for.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's certainly a great question. It's one we get from time to time. And, you know, my thoughts are, first, we need to definitely say an amen to the idea that relationship is ongoing, that it's an adventure, that there's new things that happen every day. We're learning, we're growing. And, you know, in terms of answered prayer, I mean, we could end up like the Apostle Paul in some circumstances, saying, Lord, take this from me. And we've got all the faith in the world. We've got all the right motives. Take this from me. Take this from me. Three times he prays it. And yet God has something else in mind for Paul at that time. And, you know, every believer experiences that. We find ourselves just letting our requests be made known, and yet sometimes the plan is different than we imagine. So you say, well, how did that happen? I mean, if I'm promised a yes every time I ask earnestly, well, actually, we're promised what Jesus wants for us. He's talking about asking in his name, which means according to his heart and with his agenda. And I think that's a pretty important element of the conversation, that sometimes I'm asking for something that is just an easier circumstance or a better job, and then it doesn't work out, and I'm shaking my fist at heaven, and I'm going, God, why didn't you arrange that? Why didn't you do that for me? And there are times when God's plan is just better than something, quote, better. We're looking for the thing that's better, and God is the person that's better in that situation, and we don't understand it, and we get frustrated by it. But let me just say about this abiding issue, I think that we have made abiding into some sort of work these days, and we need to go back to the reality that abide means live. And if you're a Christian, you have a new life. You live in the Spirit. You live in Jesus. Let me put it this way. Before salvation, you were abiding in Adam, and now you're abiding in Christ. And so you don't have to wake up every day and say, gosh, I better abide, I better try to abide, how do I abide? There's a word for that. I mean, yes, we're learning to trust, we're learning to depend. But if we want to get specific about this abide, I mean, Jesus says if you don't abide in him, you're like a branch that is burned. Well, that's an unbeliever. That's not a believer. So you do abide in him, and there's no fear of punishment. You know, 1 John says, if we abide in him, we don't have to fear his return. We don't have to fear his second returning. We don't have to shrink back when he comes to the earth to rescue us. Well, who is it that can have confidence? Every believer. So every believer lives in Jesus. It's not an effort. It's not a work. But there is this exciting adventure of learning and growing and trusting, and I think we do embrace that. The Bible calls it the renewing of the mind, and we don't have to be scared of that. I mean, all along the way, you're totally forgiven, you're totally cleansed, you're accepted in the Beloved, you're a new creation, there's no condemnation for you, except also you're learning and growing, and that's a beautiful thing. I think we can embrace it and say, God, I'm looking forward to today and tomorrow and the new attitudes that you're working in me. I crave those attitudes because I want to display Jesus. The pressure is off. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm accepted. But I want to learn and I want to grow. It's not human effort. It's not trying. It is trusting. So I hope that helps. Does that clarify some, my friend?
That does. And I'd like to just get a little more specific just with an example. So reading the Bible is always helpful. Going to church is always helpful. But sometimes I feel like if I go to church because I know it's going to help me and not necessarily because I want to go have fellowship with other Christians and worship God in public, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of struggling to get my words around it. But I guess your advice on how to get going.
Yeah, what I would say is this, is we don't have to overanalyze our motives about everything. If you have a desire to go find fellowship, it may not be because your best friends are there. It may be because you want to eat some healthy spiritual food. You want to take in the truth and soak in it and bask in it and get to know the love of God more. So there's a dozen great reasons to gather with other Christians. I wouldn't overanalyze it. I would just live from that new heart that you've got now, my friend. So, play the game. You don't have to wait for the whistle to blow. Get out there, dribble, take some shots. Don't overanalyze it. Enjoy the game. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate your call, and so glad that series It Is Finished is being an encouragement in your life, and we hope many others will take advantage of that and request their copy as well.
Indeed, we do, and we'll talk about it in just a moment because we want to say goodbye right now. Thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel. If you have questions about anything you've heard or in general, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you. Once again, we so appreciate the love and prayers and support of everyone who helps us keep this message of grace and Jesus Christ on the air and online. And with your gift this month, we're going to send you a copy of that CD series that Bob was talking about, It Is Finished. Six messages to help you understand that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we do not have to live with fear, guilt, and shame. It Is Finished. Request your copy today as you donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.